Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
We were all scared about the darkest timeline. You know, the one where Brock Lesnar comes back, or Goldberg comes back, or the Fiend burns someone alive in the pot. No, there was an awesome timeline there. Because The Miz made his shock cash-in at the end of the show after the main event, the Raw Elimination Chamber match, Drew successfully retained there to be beaten down by Walking Armageddon, Bobby Lashley, and then The Miz just strolled on down. I can't play. He came down and he hit a DDT on Drew. Drew kicked out. I actually thought maybe it was all a rib. Maybe another way to get Drew over. He can even beat The Miz after a chamber match. Take that, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns. But no, there was a skull-crushing finale. And Miz beat Drew McIntyre to win the WWE Championship. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. This is the Elimination Chamber 2021 review on the WrestleTalk podcast channel.
Indeed, yeah, this is the new and exclusive home for your WrestleTalk podcast channel. If you're on the WrestleTalk channel, you're thinking like, well, where's the podcast? You're in the wrong place, mate. You need to be coming over this way to the new home of the WrestleTalk podcast content that'll be going out here exclusively on this channel.
So, bit of a device. I'm surprised this is a divisive issue because I'm pretty certain everyone, has talked about how terrible The Miz and John Morrison have been all year. Not just 2021 all year. I mean, like, most of 2022. The SmackDown stuff, hey, hey, ho, ho. All of the rubbish Miz TV segments. We said on the Go Home episode of Raw, oh, God, it's starting with a Miz TV segment. And everyone agreed.
Yeah,
and he's now the champion. And everyone's like, he deserves it, though.
Yeah, but that's what there's the point, isn't it, Ollie? He deserves this, doesn't he? He deserves a title run because he had one 10 years ago. So he deserves another title run. He deserves to be in this and the other. Like, it is, yeah, everyone was not into The Miz holding the Money in the Bank contract. But now that he's the champion, there is this pocket of fans, clearly of which we are not part of, that are happy to see The Miz as the WWE champion because he deserves this opportunity.
I'm confused. I'm genuinely baffled. I put up a community post poll, a poll on a poll match on WrestleTalk, and 59% of people said that they were happy that The Miz is champion. Which, you know, that's loads.
It is. I got a tweet from someone yesterday when I put up a post, like, because I've got my theory as to why The Miz won the title. And like, I'll go through like my predictions for tonight's Raw and going into Mania this and the other. I'll go through that in a second. But like, I put up this tweet with the, you know, these kind of thoughts, and someone messaged me back legit with no hint of irony, said Drew was getting stale. We needed something new. Something new like The Miz, who did this 10 years ago. And that, I think, is my biggest issue I've got with The Miz. And like, I know a lot of people are expecting, people coming into this, and I know this because people send me messages, I can't wait to hear you rant about this. I can't rant about Miz as WWE champion because I'm not mad. I'm just like not bothered. And I'm kind of like frustrated. And I think that's worse. I'm disappointed. And I think ultimately that is worse. And it is that WWE cannot move or grow. Vince McMahon is in a position now where he needs comfort and he needs reliability. He needs something that he knows he doesn't have to question. If he sends Miz out for a segment, he knows exactly what he's going to get out of that segment. If he tries someone new, like you could have done this storyline with a brand new character, someone who was young, fresh, and different, and it actually would have worked so much better. But the Miz is reliable in this position. Vince McMahon can send The Miz out there for a segment and know exactly what he's going to get. He doesn't need to micromanage it. He doesn't need to rewrite a segment. He knows that The Miz will go out there and hit every single thing that he needs to do. That's comfort. That's comforting. The Miz is a lovely, warm, woolly jumper. And that's what Vince McMahon needs at the moment. Nothing new. This is something that... And The Miz is the same character he was 10 years ago. Because he doesn't grow. He doesn't change. Nothing changes in this company. It's the same company for the last 15 years. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton had a match for the WWE Championship at the Royal Rumble in 2008. They were part of the main event of this show for the WWE Championship in 2021. Because the company doesn't grow. The company doesn't move. No new stars are here. No new stars are created. Because we've got our comfort zone. And our comfort zone is The Miz as the WWE Champion.
But what you're forgetting is that he can hold the title upside down. And I'll tell you why that's great. Because his name begins with the letter M. And the WWE logo inverted is the letter M.
So, I don't think he's... Like, he is the most transitional champs, right? Like, I would put... I mean, perhaps this is a Louis Dangorism. I would put money on, good money on the fact that he's not the champion by the end of Raw tonight. Like, if I was booking this storyline, because, like, you know, we saw MVP chatting with Miz backstage. My theory on this is that MVP said to the Miz, look, Bobby's going to go out there and beat up Drew, and you're going to cash in. And as a reward, you're going to give Bobby the first shot or something along those lines. And we'll, like, you know, we'll cash in our shot at you at a later date. MVP does that in the very first segment of Raw tonight. And Bobby Lashley beats The Miz for the title tonight in the first segment of Raw. And we can build Bobby versus Drew to WrestleMania. And Miz can be so angry that he lost the championship in less than 24 hours. That can just further his feud with Bad Bunny, who is a champion, and he hasn't lost his title. He held on to his title for more than 24 hours.
So you think that the real reason Miz won this title is to act as a transitional? I think that's definitely a given, to get it onto Lashley. I just don't know when that happens. It'd be cool if it happened tonight. I think that's the best version of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, that happening doesn't then go, but WWE, there, that was good booking because it eventually... But it's still bad booking. It just ended up okay. I don't like that argument. But I think there's also a version of this where they are holding out for a big Peacock premium launch with Fastlane, which is mid-March, maybe slightly late March. It's like 17th of March or something. That can have Miz versus Lashley. I don't know. It's a heel on heel, though. I don't think anyone's going to be subscribing to a new Peacock premium service for that match.
Well, no, I mean, I disagree. Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's why I feel like this isn't about... I don't think it's got anything to do with the Peacock launch. I think this was just a way for them to get the title off of Drew so that Drew can win it back in front of fans at WrestleMania, which is something we've all kind of speculated pretty much since Randy Orton won the title back in November, right? We always thought, well, the reason they're taking the title off Drew is that they can give Drew the crowd pop that he never got in March and April of 2020. So this way, we've now taken the title off of Drew. Bobby didn't beat him. Drew hasn't beaten Bobby, but Bobby can beat Miz, and then Drew can beat Bobby at WrestleMania. And so Drew is still the champion. Drew gets his crowd pop and everything. And we basically just use The Miz as a way, as a conduit, essentially, to set up this match. Because, I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to, The Miz is not going to be champion going into WrestleMania. Like, absolute, there isn't a cat in hell's chance that Miz is the champion going into WrestleMania. I will stake my reputation on that, because I think they would be absolute clowns to have The Miz walk into WrestleMania as the WWE champion. So I think this is like a really just short-term thing.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? I think, well, you know, I would also put good money. I'd put some prime Bitcoin on Miz not having the title past Fastlane. You know, and, mm-hmm. and it could, the title could change as early as tonight. But so where does that put all the people who are very happy that The Miz has a championship in 2021? Because like the big outpouring of support here is, oh my God, Miz deserves this. I think a lot of people a little bit younger than us grew up and they like Miz, you know, like, you know, you sort of look past a lot of a wrestler's limitations or faults when you are in the more formative stages of your fandom. I'm certainly a victim of it myself. I've done that with plenty of wrestlers from the Attitude Era. I think a lot of people have that for, you know, when Carlito, everyone, Tempest went mad for Carlito when he returned at the Royal Rumble. I'm like, he was there for a hot second in WWE in the late noughties, and he never did anything of substance. He had a cool apple spinning gimmick. That was about it. But, you know, for a lot of people, that was a big deal. So now that there's a lot, that like the majority, because I'm really trying to understand why people think this is a good idea. Beyond everything you've just said, beyond what I said in my review as well, that I don't care if you wanted The Miz to be a champion. He's been booked terribly. He has been booked awfully. No credibility, annoying, go-away heat for a year. And now he's a champion. I just don't think that works. So but I can understand, yes, I grew up with The Miz. I've lived with him all this time. When I was becoming a wrestling fan, he was the champion. And I didn't like John Cena. And I didn't really know who The Rock was back then. But Miz, oh, he was my guy. And now he's got it back. But I can understand that motivation. I have empathy for you because, you know, if Kevin Owens wins a title out of nowhere, I will feel the same way because of how I felt about Kevin Steen in 2010 too. But what happens to all those people when he drops the title a night to 3 weeks later? Are they going to go, but that was good. That was, he deserved that. He deserved the transitional spot. This isn't going to be the grand Miz Renaissance that everybody wants. And if you have that, if you have that viewpoint, it's going to lead to a lot of frustration and disappointment.
Yeah, I have had messages from people being like, oh, I think this is going to be the start of a lengthy Miz run. And he's going to go back to being that serious heel, that talking smack Miz heel that I think a lot of people really like hold dear and like really, they have a lot of nostalgic love for that run. And it was a really good Miz run. But I think what a lot of people forget is that was a mid-card run. And Miz is a mid-card guy. Miz is so suited, like a Baron Corbin, so suited to that mid-card level. And they're perfect in that level. Do you know what Miz is great for? Miz is great for a Bad Bunny match at WrestleMania. That is a perfect spot for The Miz. The Miz going into Mania as the champion, that is not a spot for The Miz. But you're absolutely right. There are people who think this is going to be a lengthy Miz reign. And I really don't think it is. As I said, I think this is just a means to an end to get the title onto Bobby in the same way that putting John Morrison into the United States Championship triple threat was a means to an end to get the US title off of Bobby. So this, like, Miz is the John Morrison of that match. He's just there so he can take the pin and Bobby can be the WWE champion to build to a big match at WrestleMania against Drew McIntyre, right? So I then kind of feel really bad for those people who are really excited that The Miz is going to have this lengthy reign, because I don't think, like, or a serious reign, because I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't.
No, good money on that. I should put over that both me and Luke do see a lot of value in Miz as a performer. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is no slight at the guy himself, because he has an incredible work rate. And he's like, he comes across as such a nice guy.
Never gets injured.
You know, like, never gets injured. Just a fantastic promo. One of the best promo talkers the company has. And, like, there are a few people, like, slick professionalism-wise that could match him, really, in WWE. But, yeah, I we're not talking about 2016 to 2017 Hot Miz, when Talking Smack really revolutionized his career. And he feuded with a guy who couldn't wrestle in Daniel Bryan. We're not talking about him. We're not even talking about The Miz cashing in 10 years to the day on Randy Orton. Yeah. Like, I could, if that happened, I would have gone, yeah, fair. Okay. Why not do that? Because the stars aligned so perfectly. Do that back in November. You do it now? And, like, we haven't even dived the Miz stuff. You know, I think we've said our piece. The Money in the Bank stuff. Like, people like, I've seen so many people say, well, this gives Money in the Bank credibility again. Not my words. It's nice to see a successful cash in for once. I'm like, but he failed to cash it in already. Otis lost it to him. The Money in the Bank brief, this has been one of the worst years for Money in the Bank briefcase bookings.
Yeah, it really has. And actually, like, to put a pin on the Miz booking side of things, because it is, I think it is very worth pointing, like, very, very much pointing out that one of WWE's worst traits, I would say, is that they, when they give someone the Money in the Bank briefcase, they just beat them like a drum, just absolutely just beat them like black and blue and just keep pinning them, because their thought process is, well, they're just going to win the title and then everyone will forget that. And actually, to kind of like WWE's enormous credit, that is what happens, because everyone is really excited about Miz. No one is looking at the fact that, do you know what? The Miz has won 3 singles matches since January 2020. 3 singles matches in over a year, and he's the WWE champion. How on earth can you take that seriously as a main event player? Because you gotta, and do you know what? That is not The Miz's fault. That is not Mike Mizanin's fault. That is absolutely, it's not Maurice's fault. It's not John Morrison's fault. It's absolutely no one's fault, but the company that beats him like a drum week in and week out. So then when he wins the title, I go like, cool. Like, that means the title now seems crap. And I don't buy Miz as a champion, just in the same way I didn't buy him as the champion 10 years ago. So it doesn't work on multiple levels.
I suppose, to play devil's advocate, that's the point. He's not presented as a serious champion. He didn't even do the beating up of Drew McIntyre after McIntyre had gone through the chamber match. Lashley did.
The people who want that serious Miz are not going to get that character that they're after then. So surely you're then pissing off that portion of the audience.
Yes. Yeah. But I guess that WWE are telling the story of Miz is a chicken S-word heel. He'll cut the great promos. I just want to bring this comment up from Justin Smith here. Wait till he cuts a monster promo. Everyone will love him again. I've watched the promo that he cut on WWE.com after the match. He is incredible. He is such a gifted talker. And, you know, there was a little bit in me that was like, it is good to see, like, this kind of psychotic, serious Miz back. But as soon as the bell rings, all of that's going to dissipate. Well, we've lived through this already. We've lived through the Miz top title run. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't, because there are some wrestlers that are suited to a certain level of the card. And that's not a bad thing. That really isn't a bad thing. Like, that is actually, you know, that's a testament to you as a performer, that you are a solid, credible person in this position. But you can't go above that position. Baron Corbin was the dirt worst on Raw when they were pushing him as a main event heel. The second that they knocked him out of that main event position and slotted him as the mid-card heel, so much better. And Baron Corbin becomes a much more likable presence on screen, a much more watchable presence. And I think it's the same for The Miz. The Miz is better when he's not in the world title hunt. He's so great in a Bad Bunny, in this Bad Bunny Damian Priest feud that's designed to get Damian Priest over. That is a brilliant, perfect use of The Miz. Serious Miz champion, heel champion in 2021. Absolutely. I cannot see it working outside of people who are desperate for it to work and will just act like it's working.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is brought to you by the good folk over at manscaped.com.
One of the most painful things in life for us blokey blokes is pulling a hair out of our nose with tweezers.
No joke, I did it the other night while watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though I did it with my fingers because I'm a man and I really wish I hadn't because it really hurt. And then I felt sad and I was unable to enjoy Willow's traumatic journey to becoming Dark Willow.
Oh God, you're an idiot.
I am?
Because you should have used Manscaped's Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer. A trimmer they've spent over a year developing, reinventing the traditional nose trimmer into something way more effective. A 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system, contoured 23-degree angle, water-resistant tech, and a lithium-ion battery that lasts so long I've had mine for 6 months and have yet to charge it.
So start off your 2021 right by upgrading your Manscaped routine to include the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer. And you can get 20% off with free international shipping by using our promo code WTTV at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with the promo code WTTV to get 20% off and free international shipping.
Thanks, Manscaped, for making me a better man.
And thanks for letting me enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, let's see what people think. There are a lot of Ultra Chats. And we really haven't, but we've spoken about the cliffhanger ending angle. I think we'll spend the bulk of the show on that. So please be patient, folks. Also, this is the WrestleTalk podcast channel. There's 2,200 of you watching right now. If you haven't already, because this isn't the WrestleTalk channel where the WrestleTalk news is, we've now moved everything, shuffled around. So WrestleTalk podcasts like this one are only going to be on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Raw tomorrow is here. AEW on Thursday is here. No longer on the WrestleTalk channel. So please subscribe and enable notifications. Leave a comment down below. Share this around. Let other people know. Do our grassroots promotion job for us.
Because you're just a hater, Ollie. So I think we need to like just post up on Twitter how much you're just a hater. And haters gonna hate.
And also getting your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. I am very curious to jump into these. So RP Dignan says, so I'm happy because The Miz has always been my guy, but I do confess I was more interested in the Drew Sheamus story. This kind of throws a wrench in it. Would have also preferred Miz Edge over Edge Roman. Feel like they have more to work with than just Spears.
Oh, I'm way less into Miz Edge for the title. I'm actually quite into Edge Roman. I think that's going to be a really fun match. Although, I mean, are we sure it's happening, Ollie? Because it was quite subtle in the way that they were acting in the ring when they were, you know, when you speared him.
Just to preempt people's claims of hypocrisy, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, you like Edge versus Roman? Edge is a guy who's been around forever. Or, you know, I was rooting for Sheamus to win in the chamber. I thought that was a good blood feud he had with Drew there. Sheamus is a guy who's been around, it feels just as long as Miz, just in that sort of perennial mid-card spot as well. The difference there is that they have at least been built up over the last 6 months.
Yes.
And have been treated like main eventers.
Yeah, like they're like the Edge character that we've got here, this old man Logan Edge, is very different to the Edge that we had when he retired. It's the same with Sheamus. Sheamus is a completely different character now, whereas The Miz is the exact character he was in 2005. And here we are, like many, many years later, and he's just the same thing.
Stephen Guzman, I'm to confess my wrestling sins. I'm glad Miz won it. I've been bored with Drew as champion. I love him, but WWE made him very vanilla to me with his good guy persona. I'd rather Miz win than Lashley win it and dominate for a long time as champ.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of people say that they were bored of Drew as champion, which I'm, you know, I'm sort of half surprised by, but also half not, because Drew is so dominating. And I feel like, you know, you and I have been doing this podcast for, you know, nearly 5 years now. We have seen that when people are in a very dominating position, wrestling fans do get tired of it quite quickly.
I was into McIntyre. I thought he was a very well-booked babyface champion. Stephen Guzman again. Sorry, I want to explain more before I get roasted. Drew McIntyre is amazing, and I love when he was the Scottish psychopath, but the respectful, nice guy route WWE went with him just made him feel uninteresting. I want him to be a champ, but not like how he has been.
That's an interesting point. I think that's a fair point, yeah.
Zach Robinson. Nothing against Miz personally, but I'm sad him as champ comes at the cost of Drew's run. Imagine if he hadn't also lost to Randy and had just won super lengthy reign from WrestleMania. It would have given both Drew and the title much more prestige and meaning.
I completely agree.
Lewis Baczynski. I believe Lashley will beat The Miz on Raw, and they will build to Lashley versus Lee. Keith Lee at Mania. Hence the reason Lee was pulled due to, quote, injury. It was a legit injury, Lewis. Undisclosed injury. All accounts are that this is not a work. Also, a big shout out to WrestleTalk's Retribution, who I done a quiz with last night, including German Dan. It was so much fun.
That's awesome. That's great.
Brad Gibbs. Sorry, but just because you guys don't like Mrs. Champion doesn't mean it's bad. He's long overdue this. All Money in the Bank holders lose on TV. That's how they book them. He's a good wrestler, amazing promo, can do comedy, and can be serious too. Why not give things a chance before being so negative and reactionary in your reviews? Just wish you guys would stop pushing these weird agendas against certain wrestlers like Miz and Corbin, acting as if they're bad just because you don't personally enjoy them.
I think we kind of established this in the review, but we have never labeled it against them as the performers. It's the company's presentation of them as characters that is the problem. And also, Brad, like, if I think it's bad, that doesn't mean that you're wrong. Like, it doesn't mean that I think you're wrong either. That's just what different opinions are.
Yeah, and also, like Luke said, that he's been booked terribly. He's been booked terribly in the 6 months. I don't know how more clear that... I don't know why that isn't clearer to people. Why that...
Well,
it's such an obvious reason to dislike this.
I know, but as he says there, it's just what they do. So it's fine, I guess. I don't agree with that personally.
Cypher H... I actually wanted Miz to have a second world title reign back in 2016-17 when he was on top of his game, but not now. I don't like most of his segments. He is a hard worker, but needs to be built better.
I agree.
My thoughts exactly. Leon Kwashi, that look of real shock, anger, and resignation from all of you when Miz cashed in. Use it as a reaction image gif whenever there's an overlooked talent on a run or buzz at the end next NXT call-up. Remember that moment. Never get too high with the WWE. Michael Riviera, hello, lads. I've been surprised how much people have been into Miz's champ because he, quotes, deserves it. When has that been the criteria to be champion? It's all about being a draw, not deserving.
Being a draw.
Keep up the good work, lads. Yeah, I totally agree as well. Like this, I mean, there are very rare examples, like legends where, you know, they've been, I don't know, there are definite exceptions where it's like, you do that. Christopher Daniels at the Ring of Honor 10th anniversary show, I think he'd earned that. Like that was a beautiful, and that was like a nice bit of fan service. I don't think this can be used as fan service.
No, I don't think so too.
Matthew Mikowski. So here's what I think. Like Mr. Davis said, Drew can win it back in front of fans. Miz versus Lashley and Drew versus Sheamus at Fastlane. Lashley wins title. Drew versus Lashley at Mania for the title. Drew gets title. Unfortunately, part is short Lashley reign.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Lashley being built so strong is almost like, you know, it's the classic Vince booking of you book your heel champ to be your heel to be very, very strong so your babyface can then overcome them on a big stage. And I think that's where we're going with Lashley here. So yeah, he does get a short title reign out of it, but like the end goal here is not to give Lashley a title reign. The end goal is to give Drew a mountain to overcome.
My God, I've just skipped ahead. We've got three more pages of just Miz chat alone. So what I'll do, I'll read a few more and then we'll do the full play-by-play review and we'll get back into these. Bacon Rasher, hi lads, I'm not angry, just disappointed someone else didn't win Money in the Bank. But this is WWE, and if they do it right, it can be good. Bobby beats Miz, faces Drew at Mania, Drew wins it in front of some fans, Miz is great and I do like him, all aboard the Miztourage. P.S. on my Ultra Chat, I meant other than Otis, as they had no idea what to do after that, apart from safe option Mr. WWE himself, The Miz. Bobby versus Drew for the title, I'm in. Miz is a great heel, and hope he now gets better stories. Jam that jam, hashtag Mr. Raj.
I do think it is worth remembering that the reason why Otis won Money in the Bank in the first place is because WWE were just trying to get people to notice them during the pandemic because ratings were sliding. They were like, well, we need to try and do wacky things that will get people talking. And that's why Otis won it. And then Otis did absolutely diddly dick with it afterwards. And they were like, oh, actually, we just need to take it off of him, I guess.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Bacon Rasher, you hope he now gets better stories. Look, maybe we'll look back on this and in 3 months' time, and Miz would have had this incredible run as a top heel champion where he's booked credibly. I just, you know, I've watched wrestling for nearly all my life, and I've never seen anything in the WWE to make me think that's going to happen. So I would start tempering your expectations now. Mass Gamer 99.
Miz is feuding with Bad Bunny. Miz is having a tag team match with Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. He's not defending the WWE title against Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. He's going into a tag match with him. So yeah, I don't think I would. And you know what? I think that's a good storyline for the Miz.
Mass Game. Yeah, we were all on board with that. We were like, hey, yeah, this Bad Bunny, Damian Priest stuff, perfect.
Right.
Mass Gamer 99. Miz WWE title run till 2023. Book it, Vince. That's good S word. But seriously, watch you guys for years. Love you guys. Just joined Patreon $10 tier. Damn you, Luke, for the darkest timeline. Good day, sir. Thank you very much, Mass Gamer.
Thank you so much.
And finally for now, but we'll do all of them after the main review. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. I personally don't understand the logic of putting the title on The Miz. If this is to piss off the fans, then congrats, you've done it. If this is some convoluted way to give us Bobby versus Drew, then just give us that without The Miz.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty certain this was done because they wanted to get the title off of Drew so he could win it back at WrestleMania. And this is a way around it. Like, The Miz is the third wheel in this storyline, and he's the unimportant wheel, I think. But you know, I'll be very interested to see like Raw tonight and see if I'm wrong on this and where we are actually going. I mean, you know, for all my like sort of belly aching and stuff of being like, do you know what, I really don't want to watch Raw tonight, because I really don't, in a way. I'm interested to see what happens, but I don't want to watch the show. I am still kind of like intrigued to see what's coming up the back of it.
SmackDown. I want to watch SmackDown.
Oh God, I want to watch that. What a great show.
Yeah. On the, what did you just say there? I've had a point to make. Blah, 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 blah. If there's some kind of, yeah, I actually thought that the MVP had purchased the Money in the Bank briefcase off of Miz. I thought that's what their backstage segment was when they were talking in a mute way. Even when Miz was walking down before Lashley had left, I thought, oh, he's going to hand in the briefcase. Yeah. That you could have done that. Let's get on with the Elimination Chamber play-by-play review. We'll get to all of your Ultra Chats at the end of the show. First up, we had on the pre-show, John Morrison taking on Mustafa Ali, taking on Ricochet versus Elias. And the winner of this four-way, which was added very late in the day, would become the third member of the Triple Threat for the United States title on the main card.
Yeah, so I think like once they sort of announced that there was going to be still, it was going to remain a three-way, I think a lot of us went like, oh yeah, Bobby's not walking out of this the United States champion then. Like, I think that it's quite clear that they're putting someone in there who can take the pin so they can get the belt off of Bobby and put it onto Riddle. Like, I had Bobby down as my prediction in Wrestle League up until 2 minutes before the show started. And I changed it to Riddle right at the last minute because I was like, surely that's got to be the way we're going now.
So the reports are both PW Insider and Fightful Select have confirmed it. Keith Lee is injured. He's not on the show. He was at Monday's Raw, apparently, backstage, but couldn't work. He wasn't backstage at Elimination Chamber at all. So hopefully he gets well soon. He's, you know, we love Keith Lee. I think he probably would have won the United States title out of this on this night, yeah, which is such a shame. So. This was a fun match. It was pretty quick overall. Ricochet is fantastic. I was just a little bit confused why no one had their seconds out there. Ali had all of Retribution. There was no Jackson Ryker for Elias. There was no Miz for John Morrison. And they all could have interfered because it was a no DQ.
Well, that was more my thing. It's like Retribution were all standing around ringside and not a one of them thought to get in the ring and beat up the other lads to help Ali win this. They just stood on the outside like just statues, basically, just to be like, ooh, I'm menacing. you can just get in and beat people up. You don't need to like just stand around. They did get involved in the end to take a Ricochet, but you know, it sort of backfired. Retribution are a joke. What else is new?
Yeah, so Morrison goes on to the main card. The main show, however, and the first half of the main show was really, really good stuff. The SmackDown Chamber opened with Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens versus King Corbin versus Sami Zayn versus Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan and Cesaro start things off. They're like the narrative spine through this match. Then it was, who was it next? Was it? No, it wasn't
Corbin
Owens.
That came in next. Corbin came in third. Because, and we were saying this on the show, on the live reactions, he is the perfect person to put in third in this match because it's Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. It is Bryan Danielson versus Claudio Castagnoli. Like, this is ROH dream match stuff that we absolutely love and adore. The best person to bring in there is the WWE guy, Baron Corbin, to slow the pace down. It's beautiful. What a perfect inclusion into this match. Absolutely spot on, and I loved his performance in this.
Yeah, he was really, really good. Well, we were all expecting Headlock City to take off as soon as Corbin came in, but no, like deep sixes, real good show of aggression. Yeah, like we were saying with The Miz, this presentation of Corbin is very effective. And you know, he's big moves. He's got a great move set. And yeah, he's the perfect WWE foil to all our indie favorites. It was a very smart way to both kayfabe wrestling action while also working on the actual sort of underlying feelings of us marks, you know. After that, we had Sami Zayn come out. He was very fun too. My notes are all over the place here.
I really like Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn in all of this. Like, yeah. I thought Sami Zayn was fun. You know, the documentary crew was sent to the back, but he was, you know, trying to escape throughout this. So basically, a lot of his, you know, felt like he was just trying to get out of the chamber. There was a very convoluted spot when he and like Cesaro were just sort of like sliding along the chamber wall, and Sami fell off, which looked like it was a horrible, ugly bump to take. But like Cesaro came out of this match looking absolutely awesome. Although he wasn't in, like, you know, he went out before the final two. And I really thought Cesaro was winning this and going on to face Reigns. I thought he looked like his stock was raised by this. And I loved this SmackDown chamber. Mm-hmm. And what this did was actually just prove how great the mid-card and upper mid-card scene is on SmackDown of potential future opponents for Roman down the line. I think it did a really good job of establishing that, which I think is something that the Raw chamber failed to do.
Yeah, I could take a pick of any of these guys apart from Corbin, really, to go up against Roman. You know, Jay, even Jay down the line again. Kevin Owens has had a bunch of Roman matches. I don't want to see that again anytime soon, but I definitely do want to see it again. Maybe even with a babyface Sami Zayn. There was a terrific moment when Kevin Owens came out, and they've been kept apart on SmackDown. And this is the first real time that we've had the dynamics flipped, where it's Sami's the heel, Owens is the face. And Sami tried to appeal to Owens, as, you know, like, we're not the poster boys here. We need to team together. And I was like, oh, I know it's not going to happen, but I wanted to. But Kevin Owens, like, beat him up. And it was actually Owens who eliminated Sami in the end. But then we got this fantastic elimination spot where the chamber entrance is opened to get rid of Sami. And Owens is sort of like, his arm is hanging out of the chamber. And Jey Uso just slides the door shut, rams it on Kevin Owens' arm, traps him in there. Super kick, super kick, super kick on the head. To get rid of Owens.
That was so great. Like, this was one of the best eliminations because it looked so, so brutal. Owens sold it like $1 million. Jay looked amazing coming off the back of it. It was actually really creative and clever. I can't remember who it was on the stream, or like we had a chat that came in about this, but it was like, it kind of stuns me every year that we've been doing these chamber matches now for a long, long time. And every year someone finds a new way to kind of like be like, oh, I did not think of that. I did not see that coming. And I thought that was a really, really smart use.
Not always good though, are they? The new spots.
No, not all of them are good. We'll get to AJ and Omos, but, you know, sometimes they're really great. And this is one of those really great ones.
So it came down to Cesaro ran wild. Really cool stuff with Brian, but Jay got rid of Cesaro in the end. Cesaro was made to look fantastic in this. And then Jay was going to beat Brian, but Brian got the knees up and then a knee in the face. Brian wins, and then the chamber lifts up, and he has to face Roman Reigns right away. And this was also just booked to perfection. Reigns takes ages to get in the ring, setting up for a spear. We're all like, ah, I know what's happening. Spear, running knee counter, bit of a back and forth. Roman wins. But it was a spear into the yes lock, which looked so cool. And then you've got this really tense moment, not a pin, which is over very quickly, but Roman struggling in this yes lock. Roman's selling here was so good because all that composure went away and he was immediately that panicked, scared, egotistical, just heel. And yeah, it was lovely to see that exposed.
It was so great, but also because he's the fresh man coming into this and Daniel Bryan's just fought, you know, this 40-minute war inside the chamber. Roman had the strength to power out of this because Bryan was much weaker having been in the chamber to lock it on fully. So Roman was able to power out of this. So, which doesn't diminish Bryan, but it also really puts over Roman. I thought this was actually, you know, for the 2 minutes that it went, I thought this was absolutely terrific stuff. Really, really loved this.
Of course, Roman retained, choked out Brian in the guillotine. And who should attack but an Edge spear? And then he pointed at the sign, the WrestleMania sign, and then loads of pyro went off. I think he's going for Balor at NXT, you know?
So if you didn't see our live reactions last night, the five of us that were in there, four of us all were like, oh, cool. So that means that it's Edge versus Roman at WrestleMania. That's pretty concrete. And Louis said, I don't know. I think they're being really subtle about it. I don't think he's fully made a decision yet. Michael Cole's on commentary being like, that's the WrestleMania match. And Louis being like, I don't know. Like, really, I'd put money on that it's not Roman Edge at WrestleMania. He was adamant that it wasn't going to be Roman Edge.
He said, I'll put good money on it. As pyro was going off when Edge pointed to the Mania sign, Vinny's got up a super speedy turnaround of the best moments from our Elimination Chamber reactions.
Linked in the video description down below.
So go and watch that after this if you haven't already. The 3-hour show condensed into half an hour of our best bits. But yeah, absolutely great. No, everyone came out of the Chamber match better than they went in. I'm going to be hypercritical here because the ending message of this was, yeah, but Roman Edge.
Yeah, oh, totally. Because I know, like, we even thought about this during the stream. They'd be like, oh, you can do Roman Bryan at Fastlane as basically like Roman setup match for Edge. But like, I suppose the question you asked me, like, well, what would be the point? Because I don't think anyone, like, you're spending so much time building Edge versus Roman. There's no point in putting Roman into that sort of match where he's just going to beat Bryan, because Bryan gets nothing out of that and Roman gets nothing out of that. You're better off finding a more creative way to use the Fastlane pay-per-view to promote the match that's happening at WrestleMania, as opposed to just giving Roman a filler feud against Daniel Bryan.
Have Edge spear Bryan too. He's the ultimate opportunist. He's like, that both of these, Bryan could become a champion as well. I could be facing him at Mania. Mm. But yeah. But overall, just terrific action. Love all the guys in the Chamber. I thought they did fantastic work. And the Roman stuff was great too.
So good.
After that, we got Bad Bunny talking to Sonya Deville backstage. Then Miz comes in and he was like, I wish I was on SNL as the musical act, yada, yada, yada. Bad Bunny slapped him. First physical action, really. We got the dive at the Royal Rumble. Miz turns back round and there's Damian Priest.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm all for this feud getting over Damian Priest. Like, they clearly have got a lot of stock in him. And do you know how I know that? Because it's more than 3 weeks and the push is still continuing.
I don't know, man. 3 weeks. What? On the third week, the 24/7 title enters the picture.
It was for an SNL. It was a means to an end.
On the third week and 6 days, Miz effectively moves on from that. Darkest timeline, Miz and Morrison versus Bad Bunny and Bobby Lashley with the WWE title on the line.
Yeah, I don't think that's
that. No, McIntyre. Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Speaking of Bobby Lashley, after that, we got Bobby Lashley versus Riddle and John Morrison, who won the four-way in the pre-show. It started off a bit weird because I didn't quite know what they were going for. And Riddle has been booked into oblivion over the last 2 months of Raw. And Lashley just started beating up Riddle. And I was like, okay, great. We're getting this again. And then Morrison started going for Lashley and Lashley beat him up too. And after a while, I was like, but Lashley beating people up is really cool and fun to watch. And Lashley is just on fire at the moment with this far more aggressive portrayal he's had since the Rumble. And they told the story of Morrison Riddle working together, trying to take out Lashley, then them going at it. Overall, this was a really, really exciting match.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this. Really, really good. But I think it's also a testament to how great WWE have been in protecting Bobby Lashley as a character. And the way that they've been portraying him now for the last few months, really, really dominating performance, pretty much since he won the US title. And even slightly before that, he's been this, like, they have been building him so, so well and so, so effectively that, yeah, even though Riddle's been booked into absolute oblivion, there were times where I'm like, oh man, Riddle's got some like hope spots here. Even John Morrison's also been booked into oblivion because he's been sidelined with The Miz. Also had like, oh, maybe Morrison could win this. I thought it was a really, really effective match. And the finish there, yeah, saw Riddle roll up John Morrison to get the win. That's why John Morrison was put into the match. So Riddle is your new US champion. I don't know what you do with him next though, because clearly Lashley's moving on. So who else has been in the title picture? Because it has been like just so much of Bobby and Riddle for the last 3 months. What do you do next?
Well, I think obviously the plan was for, I think speculating the plan was for Keith Lee to win this here. Because I just don't, I can't see Keith Lee getting pinned and I can't see Lashley getting pinned. And it had to be a triple threat. So I don't think Riddle being the US champ was the initial plan for this. But yeah, I think hopefully Lee recovers and we get Riddle versus Lee, which I'm all for.
That'd be a great match. Really, really good. Because they had a banging match on Raw as well. So I think they'll have an absolutely killer match on pay-per-view.
The finish, we forgot to mention, Riddle took MVP's crutch because he's injured his leg and hit Bobby Lashley. And that just took him out long enough for Riddle to hit the Bro Derek and win. So like, really solid booking there. It protected, it kind of restarted Riddle a lot. There's still a lot of work to do there to get him back to a credible threat or champion, because he did spend a lot of the match running away. And even when he won the title, he was like running away from Bobby up the ramp. But it is what it is.
You know how some wrestlers get their own versions of titles? I really hope that Matt Riddle gets a US title that's shaped like a pizza. And it's got like pizza slices on it with like US in pepperoni or something. And that's his new title. Because he's been all about pizza as of late.
You see, if it's the United States Championship design, you probably want pizza written on that title in big letters.
Sorry, you're absolutely right.
And little pepperonis. I've pre-booked my pizza.
How exciting.
It arrives at 5 p.m. So let's speed through this.
Pizza place that delivers.
After that, the show took a complete nosedive, in my opinion. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending their women's tag team titles against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Opportunity to do something there. All four of them, well, you know, three of them are incredible talents. And Nia Jax is a good character to get heel heat. So, and, you know, Banks is the champion. Belair won the Rumble. Loads of dynamics to play off. But all of this was just about Reginald.
I'm not into Reginald on SmackDown, man. I'm not into this sommelier stuff. And like, I it doesn't help with the fact that Sasha Banks has done nothing but beat Carmella like again and again and again. So it's kind of, you know, there are some people who'd be like, oh, I think it will be a three-way at Mania with Carmella. And I was like, why would Carmella be part of that match? Like, Banks has beaten her a lot. Like, she doesn't need to be part of that match. So it's all about this Reginald stuff, which I'm so just not into. Mm. And I'd rather just focus on Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, who really is the best. It's the EST versus the boss. That is so much more interesting than Reginald the sommelier.
Yeah, why on earth does that have to be a factor in this storyline? But that's what happened. They had a match. It was there. And Reginald Kent comes down and he offers Sasha a champagne bottle to use as a weapon. The referee sees that, takes it off of her. That's enough to let Nia Jax recover. Samoan drop. Nia retains for her and Baszler. Baszler's like an afterthought throughout all of this, by the way, which is, you know, it stings. Because it was this pay-per-view last year where she became the first ever person to eliminate every single other competitor in a chamber match.
Yeah, it really sucks. And I didn't like this match. And I thought that it did nothing to build for a Mania match between these two. I also think it did very little for Jax and Baszler as the tag champs. I'm still not into their feud with Lana. I'm actually much more interested in their NXT tag title match they've got coming up. Way more into that. And to be honest, if I'm WWE, taking the belts off them and just putting it onto Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Just that there was an NXT thing.
That's a great... I love that. I really like that. Yeah. Because then it would stop WWE's main roster just going, but we've broken up all the tag teams. Oh, let's put these two together. You're best friends now. And I think Raquel Gonzalez is fantastic. I think she's a real star. So that happened. Miz and MVP are seen talking to each other backstage.
This is where that leads. This is where we were all starting to think, this is where the penny dropped that Miz was cashing in tonight. But it was a case of how.
or MVP was buying the briefcase.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I take that back. The penny dropped that someone was cashing in tonight.
I mean, you know, I'm all for foreshadowing, but do you have this shot if you're doing the show, or do you have a complete briefcase surprise? It's quite unlike WWE to give away essentially what they're going to do later.
I think it's just to add intrigue into watching Raw, because I think it is. It's for people like you and I. It's for, you know, the 2,500 people that are watching this to kind of be like, oh, which could lead to this on Raw. So yeah, so I think it was there for the intrigue purposes, and to make you be like, make sure you stick around for the end of, don't switch off before the end of this match.
That's a good point. So the main event, well, the real main event was Drew versus Miz, but the scheduled main event was the Raw Elimination Chamber match, Drew McIntyre defending against AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Kofi Kingston. I wasn't in love with this match.
No, I wasn't either. Like, you know, as I said, the SmackDown one really kind of like highlights how great the SmackDown roster and the SmackDown mid-card, upper mid-card into potential main event scene is. I think this match exposed how lacking the Raw division is. And again, that's nothing against any of the lads that are in the match. That's just how Raw has booked itself for the last year and a bit. It is just like that no one feels like they're a credible threat outside of Bobby Lashley. I think this match sort of exposed that. Like, there were times where I kept forgetting Jeff Hardy was in this match. Kind of the same with Kofi Kingston. They were just sort of there. And I think a lot of this match was just, it just happened. And then Drew won. And then that was it.
Well, there was one thing that happened. It was, we'll talk about that now. But actually, I liked all of Drew and AJ's in-ring wrestling, particularly the finish. A phenomenal forearm into a Claymore reversal for Drew to win. That was fantastic. And Kofi had a few good spots. But yeah, I just didn't feel emotionally invested in any of this.
No.
So the thing that happened when Luke earlier said, it's amazing they're still coming up with new, creative, fresh ideas. It's incredible. Not this one, I don't think. AJ Styles... there's two people left. It's him and Sheamus before they're meant to come out, which means it's definitely AJ next because we know Sheamus is last. Randy Orton is quickly eliminated by Kofi when Kofi comes out. Awesome moment. I actually really, really like that spot. It was like a shot in the arm of adrenaline for this match because I was suddenly like, oh my God, I didn't expect that. This isn't predictable. Randy flips out, RKOs both Kofi and Jeff, and storms out. Now, while this is happening, and I'm on the edge of my seat now, Omos rips off the back of AJ's pod. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that before. Where's this going? AJ gets out of the pod, walks round into the ring. So effectively, he's getting in a few minutes early for the explicit purpose of pinning and eliminating Jeff and Kofi, who have just taken those RKOs. Both men kicked out and nothing else happened.
So I was thinking about this today. Is a potential fix to this spot that AJ does this whole thing where he sneaks in to try and get these pins, right? Like he comes in early so he can, you know, be the opportunist and get these pins. The pins don't work. So AJ's like, uh-oh. So he then tries to get back into his pod. And is trying to get Omos to like put the plexiglass back while the referees are saying, no, you've already entered yourself into this match. And he's going like, no, the buzzer hasn't gone yet. I'm not in the match yet. And then the buzzer goes and then he gets in and then you do the... Does that make the spot work?
I think that's a funny bit of comedy. I would laugh at that. That's cool. I'm thinking maybe AJ gets frustrated there and says like, get in here. And Omos like... gets in to the pod through that gap and then he like punches through the pod as well, which would have been a cool visual. And then Omos finally does some actual moves on someone in the chamber and then AJ can pin them both. But no, Adam Pearce ejected Omos from ringside, which, you know, why?
Yeah, it was just, I don't think it particularly worked. It didn't make AJ look smart because he got into the match early. We were kind of like just a bit like, is AJ in the match now? I don't think it was explicitly clear as to what had happened. It sort of worked on paper, but I don't think it worked in principle.
I just saw someone's the Twinny there said Ollie and Luke can breathe easy if they check WrestleVotes' latest tweet. I'll read it here for you. It's that time of year, lots of misinformation with sources, which happens around WrestleMania. However, from source, WWE title match, The Miz is not scheduled to be involved. As of now, Bobby Lashley is.
There you go. And I think it's on tonight's show. I if it was me in charge, that's what I would do. I would open tonight's show because tonight's opening might get a pretty decent number. And so I would do the title switch there rather than try and like drag it out and get people to watch the third hour. Do it right off the bat in the first moment, in the first first segment of the show.
I think Miz comes out, does a little celebration party, then in comes the Hurt Business, start initially celebrating with him like that, and then the tone changes. MVP's like, now it's time to give us what we want. And Miz is like, no. Like, yeah. later, after WrestleMania. And they're like, no, tonight. And then you have that as the main event, I think. Well, I'd schedule it out that way.
I like it that you got Miz being like, yeah, no, it's cool. And then he's like, yeah, when you agreed to a contract for a match, and that match is going to start right now. And then Bobby just absolutely destroys Miz. Miz still in a suit again, pins yeah. them and wins the title. I think that'd be pretty cool.
He deserves it.
He does.
What would you give the show overall? I was salty on it and I gave it 2 out of 5 because the ending annoyed me so much that it undid the good work at the start.
Yeah, I think I would probably go 3 out of 5. Like, half the show was good. So, like, yeah, I suppose maybe 2.5. Like, I would be taken down with the Miz thing. But then after a while, I was like, I kind of, talked to myself into this idea that Miz is not going to be a long-term champion. So it wasn't that big of a deal that he won, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'd have probably gone 3 out of 5. We put it to our YouTube community. And 49% also said 3 out of 5 as thumbs in the middle, with 26% coming in second, saying it was a 4 out of 5 great purview. And I do think that is a lot of people who were behind the Miz win. Like you said, that 59% that were agreeing with sort of your, or sort of disagreeing with your statement on the WrestleTalk community tab.
That's it's time to get in with all of your hyper chats. Let's see how many we've got.
A lot.
6 pages left. Ooh, 9 pages overall. So we will speed through them. But also, before we get into those, there's 2,500 of you watching right now. As you've probably noticed, this isn't the main WrestleTalk channel. The WrestleTalk podcast has now moved here exclusively onto this channel. Subscribe, enable notifications, tell everyone you know that the WrestleTalk podcast is where you need to be now. The WrestleTalk channel will only be the WrestleTalk news. So
indeed,
the aim is to make it nice and neat for your subscription feeds.
Yeah, so essentially what we have learned and what we've been told and sort of, the research and the people that we're working with is that by loading the news and the podcast onto the same channel and the lists, is that all three are just eating each other and none of them are really getting the exposure through the YouTube algorithm. So by separating them out onto other channels, they're now being given some time to breathe, which should help the YouTube algorithms, which should actually help it get recommended to you in your subscription feeds, because sometimes it doesn't get recommended in your subscription feeds if it doesn't match the algorithm requirements. So it's a way to better, it's a way for a better viewing experience for you, the audience, which we love, and we love each and every one of you. So I really hope that this does work out.
Last call for hyper chats. Get them in to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them, starting with Ja Crispy One. Hi, guys. After fantasy booking, I am happy the Miz cashed in. Hear me out. Fastlane, Miz versus Lashley for the strap. Due to Miz and MVP's chat backstage, Lashley wins, setting up a match with Drew at Mania with fans. What are your thoughts?
It's kind of basically what we were saying, yeah, but I think it'll either happen at Fastlane or it's happening on Raw. I don't think it's happening before. It's Fastlane is basically the latest it's going to happen, I think.
Nate S. This goddamn company. Stuff my hole. We're getting Shane versus Miz for the title at Mania, aren't we? Would you rather have that or Braun? At least might get another Mizdad experience.
I mean, you know, Miz versus Shane was probably my favorite match from that year's WrestleMania. So. Wouldn't be hella against it. Miz as champion, maybe, but Miz versus Shane as a rematch, I'm not 100% against.
Michael Short, WWE worked me last night. Two great chamber matches. I forgot he was talking to MVP earlier in the night and generally thought, oh, this is a good feud to get us through Fastlane. I'm not even bothered if Lashley won at Fastlane. Then the Miz's music hit. Unhappy face. Stu, better than Goldberg being champion, I suppose. Yeah. Homer Star Fan 13. I thought for sure they would be... Homestar Fan. 13. I thought for sure they would be building to Drew Sheamus for Mania, as Drew didn't pin Sheamus and Sheamus had him beat before Styles showed up. So I'm very confused as to why it seems they're moving Drew on to fight Lashley or Miz.
I think it's going to be Drew versus Sheamus at Fastlane where the winner gets the title shot at WrestleMania, and that's when Drew does beat Sheamus. Because, yeah, as you say, the story is that Drew can't beat Sheamus, and that's the moment that he does beat him to get the Mania match.
Flim Flam Mandrew. I don't necessarily like that the Miz is champ, but the story makes total sense and I'm intrigued. So I consider that an absolute win when it comes to WWE.
I think someone who's won three singles matches in you know 16 months is not the most sense in the world to be the WWE champion.
Chuck Cassis. Miz has worked his ass off for the last 15 years to become a better WWE superstar. He has been the jobber for main event and celebrities and works so hard to get them over. He deserves to be the champ. Have you seen his reaction? It's so heartwarming. Love you.
I've said my piece on the deserving thing.
The only reaction I've seen is the heel promo. Oh, so he must have done a more candid one. Mark USD, you guys are so upset about The Miz, but let Edge beat Roman and you'll have a different stance. Let the other company produce a throwback champion like Sting and it will be a 5 out of 5. Can't stand the bias. AEW can fart and it's brilliant. Did AEW fart? Oh my God.
It went toot toot.
I can see why I could see that argument for our hypocrisy. I feel like I have explained why I think there's a difference there. But Sting isn't like becoming the champion. I feel like AEW is a fresh young company and I still feel optimistic about a lot of the guys' chances there, as opposed to WWE, where it's going back to stuff they did that didn't work 10 years ago. Yes. I think those are two very different things.
I think it's so clearly different. And I think you and I have been quite clear on our stances on that. And you know what? If Sting had beaten Kenny Omega, then yeah, I would have been like, that's not a great choice to make, because Kenny Omega is the guy that you want to be running with at the moment. So yeah, I don't think I would have said that was a 5 out of 5 show.
Ryo Adonte 221, son of a gum-chewing funk monster. Why the fruit does this company have to do stupid things like this? As far as I care, these miserable cows can have a fancy barbecue with its falling ratings. Mini rant over. Love you guys a lot. Love you too, Ryo. Tom Daniels. Hey guys, I wonder if this Miz love-hate relationship is a generational thing. No offense. My friend stopped watching wrestling, but watched Elimination Chamber last night and absolutely loved Miz winning and wants to watch Raw. Also, isn't the point that he doesn't deserve the title? Yes.
It is, yeah. And I'm completely willing to believe that it's a generational thing. You know, I'm a crusty old wrestling fan now who has, I'll be honest, never really liked The Miz much. So maybe that really does sort of play into it.
It's interesting anecdotally that your friend is a lapsed fan who wants to watch again. I think that'll be far outweighed by the number of people who don't want to watch, based on the events of last night. Nate S, you know who seems way more comfy than The Miz? Drew. Drew seems extra comfy. You know who else? Keith Lee seems super comfy and cozy, like Homer wrapped up like a warm cinnamon bun.
Oh, no, Nate, your mistake there is Keith is new. Keith isn't comfy. Not to Vince. He's not been there long. He's an unknown quantity.
Camel Arif, Miz has been loyal to the company, and I'm happy for him for the win. However, I think it came at the expense of Drew's title run. I fear for Drew's momentum going into WrestleMania.
I wouldn't. I still think he's going to be in that main event position. I think he'll be fine.
The Jam 1 Ryan B. Jam. So being a solid guy for over a decade makes you deserve a WWE title run? Well, I guess Sheamus and R-Truth are going to get title runs this year, right?
R-Truth's a great example in that. You know, he has been a solid dependable guy in that company for, you know, 10 plus years. Maybe he should be the WWE champion. He deserves it.
Gilbert S. Are you sure Bobby Lashley is intended to beat Miz? Miz is expected to lose. I agree to swerve fans at Fastlane when WWE goes to Peacock. They'll need bigger than Lashley, right? Cena? Bryan? CM Punk? For a big WrestleMania draw to get people on Peacock.
But I think they think that Bobby is the big draw because they've been building him to be this dominance heel. So yeah, I mean, I praise WWE for it. I think they've done a great job in presenting Bobby Lashley for the last, you know, 6+ months.
A hot tag to you.
Dave Donaldson says, Miz's problem is he works a WWE safe style, meaning he doesn't get injured often. But in 2021, we want to see the bar being pushed, but he'll never be that wrestler. He can cut a decent promo, but it's few and far between. Hopefully Lashley wins tonight. Michael Gustine says, I like that the Miz won the belt if they book it right. He could get his main event push like Kofi did. Ooh, don't hope it's like Kofi's run. That was just got to keep him away from Brock and Goldberg.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Tennyson, hi guys, love the show. If Bobby does win the belt tonight from Miz, he should get a proper run with it. His run in TNA shows that he can be the guy. Agreed.
Yeah. That's a sad consequence of this, because I fully expect Drew to win it at Mania when Lashley, yeah, he could be they could actually turn him into a top star.
Ethan Adamson Joseph says, Adam said it best, that some people just want to watch the world burn. I think the Joker might have said that. Also, you guys mentioned that Miz hasn't won a match since January 2020. How would you book Miz to be a serious champion? Your eyes, great content as always. I think that's a really tricky thing because there's, you know, 10 plus years worth of damage being done to his reputation. Credibility.
Yeah. Just make him a bit more psychotic and obsessed with the title.
Quit comedy stuff. Drop the comedy.
Quit the comedy stuff.
Like the correct stuff, the hey, hey, ho, ho, get rid of all of that stuff.
But still, it's a struggle. He's not that kind of wrestler.
No, exactly. Well, that's, you know, but do you know what? As a mid-card US Instagram title picture, mwah. Muy bueno. Absolutely spot on. Kate Loth, first donation. Been watching since it was just Ollie on the channel. Thank you for the content. Started watching wrestling in late 2009 when I was just 7 years old. One of the first champs I saw was The Miz. I think a lot of people who like this booking have nostalgia for that. And you know what? Like, do you think we were kind of the same way when Rock won the title in 2014?
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, we were like, oh, it sucks that it came at the expense of CM Punk, but kind of in a way, hey, The Rock is the WWE champion, so that's kind of cool, right?
Mm. Yeah, but the difference there is The Rock created one of the biggest buy rates in company history.
Ronan Cahill, all three of Raw's singles champions have been so poorly booked in the last 6 months. How does creative not see that this is poor storytelling?
They booked SmackDown as well. Right? Yeah.
Bobby's been booked great, I would say. Leon Quashy, if champions are chosen by those who deserve it, Ishii and Shibata should have been multiple times IWGP champions. Love the Stone Pitbull. That is a really great point, but you know what? Ishii is not, it was never like the right guy at the right time.
That is one of the rare, you know, I said there are exceptions. Ishii getting an IWGP heavyweight title run is definitely one of them. He does deserve that.
You could tell that over a really long story of the guy that has never been seen as the guy. I think there'd be some interesting stuff in there. Anthony Velasquez. I hated seeing Miz win the title, but I know that he won't hold it for long and he will drop it to Lashley. Then I think we're going to get Lesnar versus Lashley at Mania.
That was one of the things that Lashley himself said got him to re-sign with WWE and come back. He was promised a match against Lesnar. It is the season.
To correct myself, it was Rumble 2013, not 14. Fran Chile, I laughed my ass off when Miz won the belt. As a proud AEW mark, it makes me glad that I stopped watching WWE since last year's WrestleMania. Still watch all of your reviews and your podcast, Jam That Jam. Thank you very much. Flying Master 001. Don't see how Miz is WWE champion in 2021 is worse than Edge wins the Royal Rumble in 2021. At least Miz has been full-time company guy for the last 10 years. He earned this opportunity in my eyes. I think Flying Master, you should probably respond to some of the people in my Is Edge Actually Good video who took me to task for even questioning this idea of Edge winning the Royal Rumble, if that's a good thing.
I've seen that argument. I think it's a good argument. It's one I don't agree with ultimately, though, because I think Edge is a main eventer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. James Handley, you ever watched that South Park episode with the manatees collecting random spheres to create Family Guy jokes? That's how Ms. Winning makes sense, but replace the manatees with a septuagenarian and the jokes with dead-eyed swerve ideas. Or dead-end swerve ideas. Flying Master is back again. Still do not see how... Oh, it's the same issue we had previous. John McNeil, this pay-per-view is the living embodiment of different... Different means it's actually good. The Miz hasn't had a memorable storyline in 5 years, hasn't won a singles title in 3 years. He deserves nothing. He needs to be more interesting. Miz is stale, not different.
I think I know what you mean.
Flying Master, claiming there are no new stars, Drew is already a star and it doesn't hurt him, in my opinion. I struggle to see how Miz winning shows they're stale and doesn't change. It seems like this is leading to Drew versus Lashley. Totally. That's 100% where they're going. My point, when I was talking about Miz being the comfy jumper, it wasn't a case of that the story is bad. It's just that you could have done this with a new character and I think it would have been so much more effective. But they chose the Miz because the Miz is a warm, comfy jumper that they can rely on. Zachary Giggory, maybe? I don't like Miz as champion, but if they're building up a good world title storyline going into Mania for Drew or even Keith Lee, I'll be okay with it. I'll give them until Mania. Keep up the great work. Jam that jam. Zachary, you'll be back, mate. James Handley, so anyone who believes the Miz is going to have a long reign, I applaud your optimism and your fandom in regards to the Miz, but I'd also like to sell you things. Like I have a rock here that keeps tigers away for $1,000 if you're interested.
That sounds like good money.
Trey XXXX, Miz won and I loved it. Bring the chaos to WrestleMania. That is optimism. Feels like Miz beat the piss out of your dog with how angry you were last night. Plus, Ollie, how many wins did you have before you became the champion?
None, because I'm the inaugural champion.
Ronnie, does Miz winning the title kind of prove Ryback correct about the title just being a prop now?
There's a storyline reason for it to be shifted around like this. But yeah, WWE. Oh, no, you were going to make a better point than me.
I was going to say, I think Drew has actually made that title feel fairly prestigious. Aside from the Randy slip up, I feel like the title has actually meant quite a bit more than it has in previous years. Robert Phillips said, I hated Miz as Mr. Money in the Bank, was no threat whatsoever, but as the bell rang, I actually began to roll my eyes expecting a worn out surprise Claymore. Do I like Miz as champion just for the surprise of it? I like how Lashley has been presented in it all, so who knows? And Devante Lee, Cena versus Miz 2 at WrestleMania. Just don't fully run into the darkest timeline. Oh, that is a dark timeline. That's one of the worst WrestleMania main events.
That's how you get The Rock back for next year.
Oh,
he becomes
no.
the special guest host this year for Miz Cena. Thrice in a lifetime.
No. Oh, no, but this is where you're wrong. It's not Rock anymore. It's Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is the host of WrestleMania. It fills in for the Rock role, and you get Bad Bunny versus Cena once in a lifetime at WrestleMania next year.
Well, it sounded like that was the end of the Hyper Chat. We've still got 3 pages left. They're just not on Miz anymore. So Leon Quashy, that tag team match. Good Lord, that was bad. Real odd booking. Was Shayna really taking the heat for a Nia hot tag? And all of Reginald. Nia really showed her capabilities in that match too. Both women's champion not having the best booking. Nuh-uh.
Yeah, it sucked for Asuka. Apparently, like, the Asuka-Lacey Evans match was being emphasized about 2 hours before the show started on various WWE social medias as still happening.
Zachary Giggory, what was the point of the chamber matches this year if both chamber match winners get beaten after their chamber matches? WWE has very little direction anymore. WWE title, kinda. Raw women's title, all the tag titles, and we barely got a US title match. Well, I disagree with you on the US title.
I would disagree as well because I really like that. But also, like, the idea of the Roman match, like, that sort of served its purpose, I think. Do you want me to do this while you're taking a drink?
No, James E. thought both chamber matches were really good. Out of curiosity, what would you guys have as the best chamber match in history? I'd say the first one for me.
Yeah, we had this on the Friday magazine show with Denise Alcedo, and I could not think of an answer. Thankfully, Adam's got a list, so I would go and check out that list because he's got 10 of the buggers.
Also, hashtag jam that jam, hashtag yes please, hashtag no Mr. X-Pac. The Mr. Iconic. Is there any logical reason that Sammy's camera crew was banned from ringside, but Omos wasn't? Especially considering Omos is the one that always interferes, and Sammy's camera guys never have. I don't know why, but that inconsistency bothers me so much.
Ah, well, you see, Mr. Iconic, it's because Omos is so big. He's so threatening that you can't stop him from being at ringside.
Copyright claims, too. And probably just like, pew, pew, pew. No. That's our footage. Ronan Cahill. It's only been 1 year since Shayna was such a savage beast that she bit Becky's neck. Now she's the weak link in a tag match with Nia.
Oh, dear. That's a very bad sign.
Jake Zimmers. I'm not sure if this has been mentioned, but the title of Matt Riddle's post-match interview clip on WWE's YouTube channel was Riddle Basks in the Glory of the US title victory. Maybe feud with Keith Lee leading to a WrestleMania match.
Do you want to hear my theory on that? I've got a conspiracy theory for you. Obviously, you know, pre-typed up all the titles for the YouTube videos, and it was Keith Lee, Basks in the Glory of the US title victory. And so they just had that all ready to go, and then they're like, copy and paste, just change that to Riddle, and then we'll just load the video.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because it makes no sense otherwise.
No, it doesn't.
Check the video description. His limitless appeal. Raging Rhino 10101. The problems here all lie with Raw. The story on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view made complete logical sense, and it was a 4 out of 5 show. Women's tag match books it down a peg, with no Goldberg Cena Brock wins LOL or random shenanigans. The only issue is Raw is using Miz in two polar opposite storylines. Serious Mr. Money in the Bank, who is desperate to become champ again, and comedy heel versus celeb to attract public attention. If Raw was cohesive and had long-term plans, this story makes sense.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah, because when you said this on Raw reviews, there was the moments when he's cut these really serious promos and everyone's got like, oh, wow, that was a really cool, serious promo. Then he goes backstage with Adam Pearce and he's like, here's some comedy now. Put John Morrison into the title match because he's a former ECW champion. Like, and as we've said many times, I think the two really didn't mesh.
Yeah, and I said he's a victim of his own talent. He's too good at both. So WWE just book it for him. Sadie Lady 59. Hello, Wrestle Dads. Not dads. Although I love the SmackDown Chamber, I feel like the whole pay-per-view was very rushed, put together at the last minute. A weird vibe throughout. The Hurt Business is the best thing on Raw right now. All I want is NXT Shayna versus Asuka for the title.
Well, I think we're way past that optimism there. I mean, I'm with you. I'd love to have that as well. I also completely agree that the Hurt Business is the best thing, one of the best things on Raw. They're so great.
I'll hot tag to you.
This I absolutely love. Stephen Webb, give me Edge and Christian versus Roman and Jay at Fastlane. Yes, please. Like, I think we even sort of fantasy booked this in the Rumble, like Edge and Christian versus the Usos. But yeah, with Roman and Jay in there as well, it'd be amazing.
Where is Christian?
He's waiting for the right story. Creative has nothing for him. But I love that idea, though. Really do. Nater's WP says, Bobbles Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I mean, it was meant to be SummerSlam like 5 years ago, so maybe now is the time to do it. Sub-Zero 1995. Hey, fellas, really appreciate everything you do for us. My prediction is that Bubbles will win the title, Drew wins it back at Mania, then Big Boy Bobs wins the Money in the Bank and cashes in, setting up the almighty Bobby Lashley versus the Beast Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania next year.
Oh, I mean, that's long-term booking. I doubt WWE have thought that far ahead. I don't like the idea of Bobby winning the Money in the Bank either, because feels like he kind of did that via proxy.
Cypher H, your channel is mostly how I keep up with WWE nowadays, so thank you very much. Love all the way from South Africa. Nailed that accent. Myron Speed, Ollie, I don't know how much you're playing, how much you're paying Q-Tip, but with everything he does for the content, it isn't enough. With the Bitcoins Louis owes you from the live reactions, I suggest you give Pete a raise. It's good money.
He's an authority. He's just happy for the exposure. That's how people get paid. An exposure.
Matthew Burlidge, might be worth reminding folks to enable notifications on the new channel. I didn't get notified like I normally do until I enabled them. That's a great PSA there from Matthew Burlidge. Do enable notifications. Rohan Lipman, you guys really need to get a presenter who's more of a casual fan, or at least play devil's advocate a little bit more. I'm losing my mind listening to this.
That's why we have the Ultra Chats to sort of talk this out back and forth. I text my casual I'll get it up. I was curious about this. I was curious what a casual fan thought.
I've also got a casual fan opinion on this if you want it as well.
I like The Miz, but he should never be WWE champion again. Just no need for it. Does nothing for anyone. Won't be watching.
Yeah, mine texted me that just said, F me, The Miz? Question mark.
Granted, you know, I imagine our casual fan friends are people in our age group. So yeah. There's not the best data pool, but yeah, as far as I know, casuals hate it. Worse than us.
Is this the return of Kedemin Dan?
Kedemin Dan said something different.
Luke Webb. Hi, boys. I'm in agreement with Miz winning is simply disappointing. Anyway, the Ollie Authority and Team Lukewarm better be ready. WrestleTalk's retribution has arrived and we're going to shut down WrestleTalk. Anyway, appreciate the hard work. Thanks. Thank you, Luke Webb. Some last
ones. You want to hear Dan?
Of course I do.
He's not feeling well at the moment, so he said that when he saw that Miz had won, I was concerned that I was having some fever-based hallucination, like it was 10 years ago and WWE are finally trying something new, only it's the absolute last thing anyone wanted at the time. He's talking about the camera work, Michael Bay. Don't know what else to say. I'd love to care, but it's still the same that it's been for years. They technically have the best of everything at their disposal and utilize barely 50% of it.
Oh, straight from the Ketamin mouth. Zach Robinson said, it hurts that both Asuka and Shayna are in the positions they're in. They really should be dominating the division. Given the choice, who would you rather have go to AEW and how would you get the other back to a more prominent position?
Oh, Asuka.
That's a big question. Yeah, I think I'd pick Asuka as well. I'd love, yeah, that'd be really, really great. Like Asuka versus Sheeta, that's just off the top of my head, but Asuka versus pretty much anyone they've got there would be great. But and again, I think that's a whole division that needs like a big injection of star power. Joe Ray, I like Miz winning. To me, Drew is starting to feel like early Roman. It's just a little too much Drew for me, but I'm really interested in the potential after effect between Miz. I genuinely want to see a dominant, cocky heel Miz that gem. I think you may be disappointed, Joe.
I feel a bit sad that people were down on Drew. I thought he was a solid champion.
So did I. Issa Smith, well, I've calmed down a little bit more last night from Miz winning, but what did WWE do with the Women Tag Team Championships? They're so useless, literally just being used as props for SmackDown and Raw women's title scenes. No credible tag teams either. Great question. I think our answer was put them on Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Yeah. And lastly, Peter Hamley, imagine Kenny Omega being your competitor's world champion and you reply with The Miz.
It's a marathon, guys.
And like, as we said, I don't think Miz is the end goal here. The end goal is Drew versus Bobby at WrestleMania. It's a transitional thing. I think Sean put it brilliantly on Twitter where he said he's a banana peel champion. And that's what he is. He's just, and I still think in my heart of hearts, he loses the belt tonight.
Well, we'll see. Subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel right here. You might not be subscribed to it. You might have just seen this video pop up. You're like, oh, it's a WrestleTalk video. I'll watch that. Boom. This isn't the main WrestleTalk channel. So make sure you subscribe, enable notifications, because me and Luke will be back same time tomorrow live to discuss tonight's episode of Raw, and there's undoubtedly going to be some shenanigans involved. Absolutely. But for now, 100%. I've been Mr. Davis. This has been Lukewarm Luke Owen. Thank you ever so much for joining us all. I know it's a divisive topic, but you know, differences of opinion are what makes the world go round if we respect each other. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam, everyone. Bye.
Don't talk, Rambo, now it's live. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.